at their workshop and also some of the work that they do have been doing. So tune in, and surely it'll be a full hour of enjoyment and learning about relationships. The call-in number is 895-1114, and we're going to get this hour kicked off with a song by Ava Moon titled Love Yourself. This is Love in the 21st Century, and as promised, we're going to be talking with Sonica and Christian, who are on the line. Can you guys hear me there?
We can. Good to be with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. So, for our listeners, you have a workshop that's coming up here soon called I Love You, You Drive Me Crazy. And the two of you are certified relationship experts. Correct?
Yeah, I don't know about certified relationship expert.
Yeah, I was just noticing that. I was like, oh, there's some certified mediator in there, but you're a relationship expert. So could you each tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you find yourself to be a relationship expert?
Well, great question. I always say how I kind of started out being a relationship person was watching my own parents go through their failed marriages, several failed marriages. And I, of course, vowed that I was going to be different, and then I wasn't. So I went to school. I studied. I got BAs in psychology, sociology, social work, got my master's in social work. And one of the things that I discovered, actually, is that all the stuff is I was getting all of my hours to become a licensed therapist, which I actually, in the end, decided not to get my license, but I got all my hours. Is I noticed that all the stuff that I was being trained to help people's relationship wasn't helping them any better than it was helping me. you know, this whole paraphrasing and I statements and reflecting back feelings. And, you know, it just wasn't getting to the core of really creating and producing transformation and change. So, you know, this was also at the height of the personal development movement, and I did just about everything that came around. And in the end, I actually invented a lot of the practices that we now teach people to get myself unstuck and get myself producing some happiness and intimacy and connection in my relationships. And then I, you know, turned around and started sharing it with clients and in workshops. And that was, what, some 35, 40 years ago. And it has been extraordinary to watch the impact of these different tools and techniques and this radical innovative approach that we've kind of created here for how to create incredible relationship. And really my best testimony to being a relationship expert is not only all the thousands of people that we've helped, but really living all of this with my beloved husband, who I will let introduce himself now.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'd say how I got into now doing this all day, every day is, you know, at some point during my 20s and early 30s, it got painful. It got so painful to not be able to navigate the landscape of love, sex, and relationship. You know, I didn't know then, but it became obvious that I really had very little skill in how to do that. So all my relationships ended up the same. You know, it was really great in the beginning. You know, that the good old honeymoon phase, as is commonly known, where it's just, you know, fun and electric and everything is new and full of possibilities and the sex is plenty and wonderful and it feels easy. I really liked that portion of relationships. But it lasted so short, though, in every single one of my many, many, many relationships. Sometimes it took 2 hours to go through that whole wonderful phase, and sometimes it took months and somewhat longer. But they all ended up the same, with me feeling baffled and unsatisfied and unhappy. And I always thought to myself, well, if it isn't easy and fun, then it must not be the right partner. So that's what I always did. I just concluded, oh, must not be the right partner. Next. Really, that's all I knew what to do, was to find another partner and hope for the best and hopefully get this, you know, get the life and excitement and, excitement and romance and love and attraction, get that cooking again, because I really wanted that. So when that all got painful enough, I just started to take some good hard looks at my portion of the relationship equation, you could say. What was my own impact? You know, a wise woman once asked me, and during those times said, has it ever occurred to you that it's not the choice of partners that there's something wrong with? That had never occurred to me at that time. but it did begin to occur to me that, you know, I managed to take relationships with perfectly great people and turn them into the same every time. So I began to figure, okay, I gotta have more power in this equation than I think. So that's what started me on this whole journey that, you know, now has me living and breathing and teaching this.
Absolutely, I'm definitely interested in the comment that you made there about the partners not being in control of the problem. Like, they're not necessarily deciding that the problem has been the problem. Like, so can you elaborate a little bit on what that means, like how individuals aren't necessarily choosing that?
Yeah, well, you know, when we are in relationship, and I can speak for myself or for thousands of other people, I guess, on this matter, is it really, you know, when we start out, it's wonderful. Most people have that experience, at least once or twice in their life, where it's just wonderful and easy when we fall in love. And you know, we're so filled with excitement and love and satisfaction, and all our needs are getting met. You know, it's a full heart. It's mm-hmm. excitement. It's glorious. And then as it changes over time and becomes, you know, more normal, let's say, more Less exciting, less electric,
more flat line,
or sometimes gets more charged in argument. Really, from my point of view, or anybody's point of view, it really looks like, wow, she changed. She wasn't like this in the beginning. She didn't used to talk to me like that. Or from the other point of view, it's like, wow, he's getting a lot more critical. I didn't see that in the beginning. Or, wow, is this really the person I married? Someone who's that angry or who's that withdrawn? I don't think so. It really looks like the other person changed. So the logical course of action that most of us take, which is, you know, what I was describing that I took, was either, oh, great, I'm going to find someone else with whom it's wonderful, or to try to get the other person to somehow, you know, realize that they have some issues and encourage them in more or less gentle manners to go do something about that, to stop talking like that, to say yes more instead of no.
Yeah, we try to change the other person. And we don't realize, actually, that we shifted how we interact with our partners, you know, that we're actually the source of our experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know a lot of us have heard that, right? We create our own reality, we create our own relationship. But really, most people have no idea what's changed. Like, it really does look like the other person changed. And all of us are sort of on this campaign to get our partners to go back to how they used to be. And really, that's one of the biggest things we see in most of our relationship work is, you know, a lot of people go into traditional therapy really with the hopes that they're going to go present their case to the therapist and the therapist is going to change the other person, you know. And we actually take a completely different approach, which is really how, you know, first of all, how did we co-create that incredible experience to begin with, and how can we co-create it again?
Yeah, that's good. I was just in my mind, I was thinking, well, what if there is something that's coming up that, you know, that is sort of like, you, maybe like you said, the behavior was always there at the beginning of the relationship. You reacted differently at the beginning of the relationship. And so in your process of changing, in your perspective and where you end up maybe later in the relationship, how do you get back to that place? It's not necessarily that behavior that you're talking about wasn't there. It was just that your interactions were different. So it's like recreating that environment or that connection is what you're saying that was existing in the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah. And we'd like to, and this is what we teach, is not only recreate what it used to be. It's kind of like using it to recreate it on purpose, because what happens in the beginning of a relationship is we're, you know, there's so much biology happening, not to say that's the whole piece of it, but we're supported with great, there's this whole cocktail of biochemistry and hormones that run through our brain and blood, and it really impacts how we see each other and the world. So, you know, some, like, scientists and studies have suggested that it's this kind of chemical cocktail that we have is akin to cocaine or heroin in its, both in its ability to feel good and also in its ability to feel addictive. And that cocktail only lasts for anywhere between 6 months or 2 years on average. And then the thing is, when that goes away, you know, when it begins to not be there by itself, few of us simply have the skill or the education to do it on purpose ourselves. Because it's almost like it wasn't us who did it in the first place. It was like this gift of nature and biology.
Right.
Now we're left with, oh, wow, how do we do that? And which is entirely doable.
Are you going to give us some secrets?
Well, you know, here's a fun thing, and we're going to talk more about this and go into a lot more detail with this in our presentation that's coming up here this next Sunday evening. But, you know, one of the things we always say is, you know, our how we go about trying to produce change and transformation and get back to feeling good is we call it, you know, complaining for change, you know, where we're trying to, you know, say to our partner something like, you know, you never listen to me anymore. You know, you don't focus in on me like you used to. You're not so interested in being curious about me and who I am and what I'm experiencing, what's going on.
What are you talking about? I'm perfectly interested. I'm listening to you right now.
You're actually kind of talking at me. I don't feel like you're really hearing the depth of...
Would you like me to repeat every word you just said? I can totally do that.
That is not what I am talking about. I'm talking about how I don't feel really seen and felt and, you know, like you're just curt and arrogant and...
Well, you know, it used to be a lot easier because in the beginning you actually wanted to hear what I had to say. Now it doesn't matter what I say. You just dismiss it and think it's rubbish.
Well, see, notice that we're now talking about you instead of talking about, like, I was trying to express me and what was going on for me, and now we're all on you and about me not listening to you.
And so it goes. And so it goes.
You know, so we tend to have conversations like that, really, and our intention, like, our best intention, really, is that when I say, you don't listen to me anymore, he's going to turn around and say something like,
really? I haven't been listening to you properly? Honey, oh my God, I'm mortified. I'm so sorry about that. That's going to change from this moment forth. From now on, I am going to listen to you with rapt attention to everything you say, and I'll be right here with eye contact whenever you want it. As a matter of fact, I'm yours right now. What can I do for you?
Thank you so much. That impromptu debate right there was very illustrating of the arguments. And actually, I was watching your YouTube channel just earlier today, and that was definitely one of the short videos you do of how to work through not talking about your problems, right?
Exactly. It's like, you know, the intention really of talking about problems is to make them better. And inadvertently, what happens is we make things worse. You know, there really is this idea, like, the more we talk about our problems, then the more the other person reacts. I mean, you might imagine, you know, one of the questions we always ask when we do this little demo is, has your complaining ever produced a result like that? You know, it's like, no, never. It never produces that. It produces instead defensiveness and anger and reactivity and, you know, like, pretty soon we're going down the Trier track and we're having these fights and arguments and it gets worse instead of better.
Absolutely.
And then that gives us more to complain about, more to argue about, more to fight about. And, you know, pretty soon that is where we're spending the bulk of our time.
Absolutely.
So, interestingly, in answer to your questions, like, what are some of the secrets? Interestingly and counterintuitively, one of the secrets to reviving your love, to beginning to have your whole relationship feel better and work better, is to stop talking about your problems. That's not to say, so the disclaimer here is, that's not the final solution. We understand that doesn't build your skill to deal with your legitimate challenges. But it does give an immediate better feel in your house or in your relationship. It does put you in a place where you have a chance of not digging yourself deeper into the ditch. And it does help you very quickly and easily, or maybe for some easily, but quickly, put you in a place where you have like 100 times better shot at actually dealing with, you know, the things that you would like to change or do something about.
Absolutely, and it's definitely, you know, bringing to mind very, very many conversations that I've had in varying degrees about relationships, either on this show or in person, of just like having the same conversation. You just get to this point where you're like, I feel like we've been having this conversation, and it elevates the blood a little bit. You get a little frustrated. Like, how did we get here again?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times we hear just that.
It's so nice to hear that advice of, you know, just like, stop talking about it.
Yeah, and it's just like, is there anything more frustrating than having the same conversation for the 50th time, and it still doesn't go anywhere, really?
Right.
Well, and part of where that comes from, it's very interesting, is that our focus tends to, by default, go to what isn't working.
Mm.
And, you know, we actually heard that there's, you know, how many more? There's like,
oh, yeah, on the human body, we have something to the order of 2.5 times. On our skin, we have something to the order of 2.5 times more pain sensors than pleasure sensors.
Wow.
Which is just to say, you know, we are more biologically wired for survival, right? And so we are on the lookout for things that might not work or things that aren't okay or things we don't want to live with. And a lot of times, too, we have a tendency to sort of globalize whatever it is we're experiencing. I get to see that a lot as parents, right, with kids as well, you know. Somebody lies, and instead of dealing with this lie, you know, there's this incredible fear, like, oh, my God, where's this going to go? And if the lying perpetuates and continues, then we're going to have this, you know, this corrupt person, or we're going to have this person we're in relationship with, their lying that we can't trust, and then that's going to erode, and everything's going to fall apart, and right? And we... So instead of just dealing with what we're dealing with here in this moment, we're now off and running into what all of this means in the future. The other thing about that is that because we're so wired to notice what isn't working so we can hurry and fix it, so nothing terrible will happen, that's part of what has us be caught up in this whole focusing on what isn't working and problem solving, is we miss what is working. We miss what we have. We miss what we love. You know, and we're working with a couple right now, actually, and, you know, the guy is interested in another person, and all of a sudden the wife is like, oh, my God, I love, you know, now she's present to what she appreciates and loves about her husband now that there's the threat of, you know, him potentially leaving her. When, you know, prior to that experience, all the attention and all the focus was on all the stuff that wasn't working and that she didn't like. And, you know, it's a real dilemma in our relationships where we are spending the bulk of our, not only our relationships, but we get to see it too in so many different domains. We spend the bulk of our time focusing in on what isn't working and what we don't like and what could be better. And we miss out on, you know, the pleasure, we miss out on the joy, we miss out on what we really do love and appreciate about each other.
Absolutely. There was something, Sonika, that you mentioned earlier when you were introducing yourself that I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about, and that was around the paraphrasing and the I statements and how those don't necessarily work in difficult situations while communicating, because it's definitely something that I think for a long time was really encouraged to use was the I statement and to paraphrase what you're hearing. And I just wanted to hear from you how that might further challenge, create further challenges.
Well, great question and great observation, actually. There's a way when we do, first of all, I just want to say I statements and paraphrasing can be really great. And where it breaks down is if I have, how can I say this? If I'm interacting with you and I have a belief about you, we'll say it that way. If I have a belief about you that you're somebody who is selfish, right, and you're not really giving and you don't really care about me and I'm not a priority, and that is the belief I have and the filter through which I experience everything in our relationship. It doesn't matter what my partner does or doesn't do. It's going to I'm going to put that belief filter on everything that happens. So all of my I statements and all of my paraphrasing are going to reflect where I am coming from, and that's why it doesn't particularly produce change, because I'm always overlaying my interpretation on top of whatever it is that's going on. And until I can examine what I'm bringing to the party and fundamentally shift that at its core, then it doesn't matter what I paraphrase back. If I'm just doing it like a robot and really in the background I'm looking for evidence to reinforce how you really are a selfish, ungenerous person, and I'm just going through the motions of paraphrasing back before I can lob the next bomb at you or the next piece of evidence to prove that I am right about you being somebody who's selfish.
Wow, yeah, I really appreciated what you said. Examine what I'm bringing to the party at the core. Yes, it's like knowing where you're operating from. And so it's such a different perspective that we don't necessarily take naturally in conversation or in, you know, challenging situations. And it's not one that we're necessarily taught either, which is sort of some of the what I've gotten from your flyer here that talks about upgrading our operating system, because our system, you know, our how we respond to emotional needs really comes from our parents and the media, and that source isn't necessarily up to date on evaluating yourself.
Yeah, to say the least, that is very true. And, you know, and I want to acknowledge for everybody who's listening that, I mean, it really isn't your fault. Like, it's not easy, because, you know, I really had to flip my mind and my skills around this, because we're taught, I mean, we'll go into a whole bunch of more detail about that at this event we're doing, but, you know, we're taught, for example, at least I was, to, you know, you got to look at your problems, right? You got to talk about your problems. You got to face up to it and say what's really going on. And so, in trying to do that, and, you know, most of us, we try to do the right thing, right? We want to be good people, and we certainly try our best to have a good relationship. But in trying to do just that, we end up producing the exact opposite. For example, with what we just talked about here before about complaining for change. Although I don't think, when I'm the one doing it, I don't think I'm complaining. I just think I'm pointing out a problem. You know, I'm just pointing out that there's some issues here you should look at. But it always just lands as complaining, and it ends up producing the exact opposite. And another thing I want to add about that is, you know, one of the things we will demonstrate at our I Love You, Drive Me Crazy event, which is too big of a piece to share on the radio, and, you know, we show a piece of videos and have asked people some questions at the event, is to show people what is really going on when you're having arguments and bickerings and fights like the ones, you know, Sionic and I demonstrated really quickly here. So there's just this whole other something going on that most people just have no idea about.
Absolutely. And I'd like to talk more about what people can expect here shortly at the I Love You, You Drive Me Crazy relationship training that you're going to be doing on October 4th. But first, we're going to have a short break. So stay on the line, Sonika and Christian, and we'll get right back with you.
You got it.
All right. So you've been listening to Love in the 21st Century, and I am your host, Tamara. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Trace Hombre's Long Bar and Grill, featuring coastal Mexican cuisine reminiscent of the beach in Baja and the Yucatan, with flavors from all over Latin America. Their Long Bar offers over 120 premium, 100% blue agave tequilas, and have been voted Best Margarita in Chico 10 years in a row and counting. Located on the corner of 1st and Broadway, downtown Chico, Trace Hombres is open 7 days a week. We are talking with co-owners of Love Works Relationship Training Company that was started in 2006, Sonika Tinker and Christian Pedersen. So stay tuned for that.
The great rocker, writer, and activist Patti Smith has a song that brings all three of her talents into a single refrain. People have the power to dream, to rule, to wrestle the world from fools. For people power to be more than a cliche shouted out at rallies, it has to do something, such as dream, wrestle, and rule. That pretty well defines the remarkable grassroots group of people power doers who've come together under the principal banner of Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement. Since 1975, these feisty farmers, conservationists, workers, students, consumers, and other everyday Iowa people have strategized, organized, and mobilized to take on bankers, bosses, big shots, bastards, and BSers in battle after battle for economic, environmental, social, and political justice. In the process, CCI has become a national model of direct, nonpartisan civic action to foster two of America's highest ideals. One, government of, by, and for the people. And two, economic fairness and prosperity for all. The widening chasm of inequality in our land and the rise of plutocratic rule cause some people to wring their hands and hope in vain that some golden-haired politician will ride in to save them. They might as well trust their last pork chop to a coyote. CCI members know the futility of that strategy, so they've joined hands to try wrestling their world from the greedheads and boneheads who feel entitled to fool around with ordinary people's lives. That scrappy democratic spirit is what's drawing me to Des Moines in a couple of weeks to join Reverend William Barber, Alicia Garza, Sally Cohn, and several hundred Iowans in a joyous two-day 40th birthday bash to celebrate and extend CCI's progressive vision and successes. This is Jim Hightower saying, for information, go to iowacci.org. What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All right, so you are tuned into Love in the 21st Century, and we are talking with Sonica and Christian, co-owners of Love Works Relationship Training Company, and they have a workshop coming up on October 4th here in Chico, and Sonica and Christian are actually remotely calling in right now, so thank you, Sonica and Christian, for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
Yes, and so maybe we can dive in a bit and talk about the workshop specifically, what people can expect showing up on the 4th and some details about it.
Well, for one, people can expect some pretty amazing ahas and insight into what they're doing that isn't working, how they're making things worse without realizing it. And they're going to get some concrete, specific steps that they can do instead. And literally, we have had lots of couples on the verge of splitting up come to this presentation and immediately turn their relationship around. It's actually pretty extraordinary to watch the incredible results that get produced just from this 2.5-hour presentation. And then we also have a lot of singles as well who come. So this is for couples and singles. A lot of singles come who, of course, have had relationships in the past. I mean, as you know, there's like a 50-60% divorce rate, and it's even higher for second and third marriages. Actually, third marriages, it goes all the way up to like 70% divorce rate.
Wow.
So a lot of single people have experience with relationship, and so a lot of, and want to create another one, and hopefully a lot better than what they've created in the past. So a lot of singles even get insight into what they have been doing that isn't working, and what they can do instead, you know, because, you know, one of the claims we make actually is that most people in relationship spend the bulk of their time in reaction against what they don't like instead of in creation towards what they do want.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that just as much with singles as you do couples, right? A lot of singles go out on dates to kind of see who showed up. And they react against who showed up. They're judging each other like crazy, comparing each other against their lists, you know, trying to decide on the first date whether they're going to get married or divorced. You know, and it's incredible setup for failure. You know, one of the things we claim is that, you know, the dating system completely is set up to fail and not work.
Right.
You know, so singles also get a lot of value in seeing, like, oh, my God, what am I doing that's also setting myself up to stay single? And what can I do instead to create more of a, you know, nourishing environment within which relationship can organically build and thrive?
It's great. We got one after one of our last I Love You, Drive Me Crazies. We got an email from a single woman who came by herself who sent an email and said to us, I learned so much. I feel so inspired. And then that dot dot dot. Oh my God, it is possible. You know, just reflecting the question that I always used to sit with, you know, in my days of exploring relationship, is it really possible? And honestly, I wasn't sure.
Right. And it's really nice to hear that you're going to be sharing some concrete tips. I think that's a lot of what people are looking for often. It's like, you know, like, okay, we know that there's challenges. Like, are you really going to show us or, you know, talk to us, you know, and give us a way that's going to help our relationship? Because, you know, there's that list and that judgment of, oh, yeah, this is going to be another thing that we're going to try. So it's great to hear that that people are going to be walking away with some really concrete tips to rebuild that relationship.
Yeah, for sure. You know, one of the things we often get positive feedback about is that, like, our style of work has a great ability to take, you know, kind of the universal principles that we're all going for, like love, connection, non-judgmental, you know, loving unconditionally. Like, how do you actually do that? You know, how do you do that with another person who might be saying stuff you don't like or who's wanting different things from you? How do you actually do that? So we're definitely of a practical bend.
Yeah, the other thing I'll say, too, is you're going to have fun. I mean, you know, one of the things Christian and I always do in our work is we're very transparent about our own relationship. And so, you know, we also just have fun talking about the stuff between us that drives us crazy.
Yeah, I totally don't mind telling people what drives me crazy about them.
You know, and really when you know, kind of the good news really about relationship is when you know what to do and you know how to move and you know how to look at yourself and take responsibility and create what you really want, all that stuff that drives us nuts. Like Christian and I just went away to Mendocino for, you know, a couple of days, and we just get to laugh and enjoy our differences. So instead of it producing all of this separation and disconnection, it produces fun. It produces lightheartedness. It produces an even deeper bond because we can allow for and appreciate and actually have fun with all of those differences instead of being grated by them.
I know I remember one couple that came. This was actually several years ago that came, and they were, you know, one of those couples that are, okay, great, we'll show up to this event as a very last-ditch effort. And granted, this was one of our two-day workshops, but still. They just went because one of their friends wouldn't shut up about it. And one of the things she told us afterwards was that, wow, you know, we've done so many things over the years. They'd been married for 25 years at this point. We've done so many things over the years, therapy and counseling and read books and what have you, and it's always felt like such hard work. Like she said something like walking through the darkness and maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And the biggest thing she said afterwards was she said, wow, this was so much fun. I had no idea that you could actually have a good time while you work out your relationship. Totally novel idea. And that, you know, this was a total breakthrough event for them.
Yeah, so we have lots of fun as we're also, you know, giving people insight and tools and being able to, you know, because we've got to, you know, humor is a really great way also for us to be able to navigate in relationship, you know, to be able to laugh at ourselves and laugh at our patterns in our relationship. And in the humor and in the love that is expressed underneath that humor, we can create some openings for some new ways to, you know, navigate through those and, you know, come up with workable win-wins for, you know, these things that we really struggle with.
Absolutely. And how could people find out more information about the workshop specifically and more information about you both?
Yeah, good. Thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. Our general website is loveworksforyou.com. And we have our events right there on the front page. But you can also just type in loveworksforyou.com/live-events. That'll take you straight to a page that'll tell you about this particular event. I love you. You drive me crazy.
Great.
And when you get there, there's a video. We made a video that introduces this talk or this mini workshop that we're doing. So you can watch that, and then you can go ahead and register right there. Reserve yourself a seat.
Yeah, as soon as you register, we'll send you a confirmation letter that'll have all the details about when, where, and. You know, we're really excited to come to Chico. This is our first time coming to Chico, and, you know, we just love being able to share this work with as many people as possible, and we absolutely promise that it's going to be worth your time coming out and, just giving your relationship a reboot. Even if you're doing great and you just want it to be better, you know, you're going to see some amazing stuff at this workshop. You're going to be surprised to discover what you're doing that isn't working, and you're going to really be able to take home, as you said, right, concrete tools for being able to shift things. The other thing I want to say that is so great, because, you know, a lot of us women, we're relationship people, right? We're usually the ones that are kind of pushing for, come on, let's work on our relationship. Come on, it's got to be better. And the men are usually like, oh, really, it's fine. Like, do we have to? And I want us to say about our work that, you know, men love this work as well. They love the fact that it's practical, that it's effective, you know, it produces results. And, you know, I remember one guy, he said, you know, this is the first time I haven't looked at my watch. You know, that we really do speak to both men and women, and really singles, couples, gay, straight. I mean, it's very applicable. As well, the stuff we teach to every relationship, not just intimate relationship. You know, the stuff we teach, you can use it with your kids. You can use it with your coworkers, your boss, your ex. You know, a lot of us have an ex or two in the space. You know, you can use it with your ex-partners as well. This is very applicable, because really what we're teaching is, how do you create what you want instead of reacting against what you don't want?
Great. And that event is here in Chico at the Yoga Center of Chico this Sunday, October 4th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. And the address for the Yoga Center of Chico is 250 Vallambrosia Avenue, number 150. So a great location right in the heart of town. And it sounds like it's going to be an amazing event. I definitely intend to be present. I'm very captivated by your personalities. You have a very charismatic way of delivering your message. I've watched some of your videos on your YouTube channel, which is Sonica Tinker, right? That's the channel?
Yes.
It's sometimes actually easier to find just going through our main website, okay. loveworksforyou.com, and then you can click onto the videos.
Yeah, we've got lots of videos and lots of articles. You can kind of check us out, and people can also call if they want more information. We're happy to, you know, if people have any particular questions.
Absolutely. And so you did kind of in there mention the how this work would be beneficial for, you know, singles as well as exes and whatnot. But on your flyer, you say that you'll relate with everyone in your life. So partners, dates, ex-parents, kids, boss, friends, in ways that create deep connections and happy results. And so I'm wondering if you can just touch a bit about on that, how enhancing your skills through your training are going to be able to help in the other areas. I mean, because relationship, as I'm sure you're well aware, and many of our listeners are as well, are everywhere in our life. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. That's a really great point. Thanks for bringing that out. You know, relationships are indeed everywhere. And when you think about it a little deeper, how we understand ourselves as humans is in relation to other people. How we gauge ourselves, that's how we express ourselves, that's typically how we know if we're doing good or not. That's where we get our enjoyment, not to say all of it, but relationship is everywhere. You know, we relate with people all day, every day. We go to work, there are people. We come home, there are people. Or we go out and do sports, there are people. So, although
and everywhere we go, we're a person having a relationship with ourselves, too.
So although we speak mostly in the, you know, we speak through the lens of romantic relationships, it's what people learn they almost can't not use when they go back to their kids or in their workplace. So although, you know, at our events that's not specifically what we talk about, we have many times heard people come back say, wow, I used to just argue with my boss and hate the guts of him, and it totally opened up. Some people have even come after some of our trainings and said, you know, I was expecting to get fired this weekend, and I got a raise instead. You know, stuff like that happens, and even more commonly maybe is how it applies to your relationship with children. So people will go home and have an altered relationship with their children in using some of this, because we do the same thing to our children that we do to our partners. For example, what we talked about earlier is talk about everything that's wrong, because that's what's being really visible to us. Talk about everything that's standing out. We don't think it's complaining. We actually mean it as support often. But the only way it lands in our kids' ears is there they go again, harping on me, and it produces nothing but resentment and disconnection.
Here, I'll just say a couple of other things just so people can kind of see themselves here and what's possible for shifting things around. So, you know, one of the things we say about fights is that almost always, and every, you know, listeners can see if they can see themselves here, almost always when we're fighting, we're arguing for the victim position. You know, who got more victimized? Who got the worst end of the stick, right? And we're kind of, somebody once said, I thought this was just a perfect way of describing this, we move a lot in relationship like we're in court, and we're trying to present all the evidence to build our case, right?
Here's all the evidence I have for that you never want to have quality time with me. Yeah, that was that time you said no. I came up with this great idea last Sunday. Remember, you rather want to hang out with your girlfriends, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
Right. And then another thing that I'll say, which is usually a pretty big contrast as well for us, you know, at the beginning of relationship versus when we've been in for a while, is in the beginning of relationship, we are given to each other like crazy. You know, love gives. You know, we are going out of our way to say what we love, and we're giving little love notes, and we're buying flowers, and we're making meals, and we'll travel 3 hours in the night. You know, Chris and I, when we were first together, he was in Denmark, and I was in California. You know, we had a real long-distance relationship. And we would fly, you know, 10-hour trips, you know, to see each other because, you know, we just wanted to give to each other our love and our attention, and I'd send him tons of emails and tapes, and this was like before phones and text messages and all that. And then after a while, after we've been in a relationship for a long time, the focus shifts from giving to getting. I'm trying to get my needs met from you. You're trying to get your needs met from me. And now we got two people here trying to get. And it's a, you know, we liken it to, you know, we're both going to a potluck expecting to feast, except nobody's bringing food, you know, and when nobody's giving in relationship, right, we get depleted, right? We start withering.
That's a good analogy. Going to a potluck and not, there not being any food there.
I know. Interestingly, the same thing that happens often when, if you're a single person and you go on first kinds of dates is often the very same experience because, you know, you can think about how do we really go into a date? Typically, I go to check out who shows up. I'm just, you know, going to check him out, check her out. I expect and hope that he or she is going to, you know, show me something. Like, what do you got? Are you a match to all these criteria that I have either on paper or in my mind?
Right.
And we end up coming in so guarded and basically judgmental, and, you know, we're trying to make a good decision, but it means we show up very guarded, and we end up with an experience like going to a potluck where nobody brought food and just hoping someone else will.
Yes, I was happy, Sonica, to hear you say that how we treat our partners is, you know, is a reflection in how we treat our children, and I think that's often something that we forget is that comes out in our actions, in our behaviors. You know, like children are just sponges that are there, you know, people in our environment are there experiencing our behaviors, and we often don't think about how our actions are reflecting into our children's lives and how that is being played out in our partnership as well.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, because I always say, you know, because our eyes look out, it looks like everything we're seeing is out there, you know, and when we want to change our experience, we got to change out there. And we do that everywhere. We do it with our jobs, with our kids, with our partners. And we can't really see ourselves, or like I said earlier, right, what we're bringing to the party. And what is so great about relationship is there is no better mirror. You know, whether it's a parenting relationship or a romantic relationship or a work relationship, right? It's like we get to use relationship to see, like, okay, what am I bringing here, and what can I change? You know, I also had one of those pivotal moments in my life that totally changed everything was there was a time when I was in a battering relationship, and I had a therapist look at me and say, you know, hey, has it ever occurred to you that there's something you're actually doing that's contributing, not only contributing to your victim experience here, but you're actually getting something out of it. You're promoting it for some positive result.
Mm.
And, you know, that was the first time it ever occurred to me that I had anything to do with what was showing up out there. And that was power. Because if I was producing that, then that means I can produce and create something else. And that really is the good news. You know, when we're creating experiences in our relationship that we don't like, the good news is we can change it. We absolutely can change it, no matter where we are in our relationship process. You know, so there was one couple who came to us, actually. They were already split up, already living in different places, already dating other people, even. And one of them came to our, we actually do longer trainings as well. He came to our two-day training, and he's like, oh, my God, that's what we were doing wrong. I really see that if we had these tools, we'd be able to turn our relationship around potentially. So they ended up coming back again together. He was able to kind of talk her into going, and she sort of begrudgingly went along. And they are now having the best relationship ever. Like, they're back living together. They've got the best sex, the best intimacy, the best communication, because they know now what to do to create what they want instead of making it worse, right? By talking about their problems all the time.
Right. Absolutely. Something that's helped me is to remember to be the person that you want the other to be. So I would find myself, you know, wanting, you know, that what you mentioned before, the getting, you're trying to get your needs met. So I want to feel validated. I want to feel loved. And so, you know, like the romantic things that happen in the beginning of the relationship, like you mentioned, Christian, of just like the flowers and the messages. And so whenever those feelings would start to come up in my relationship, I'd be like, oh, that's a time that I need to start doing that. Because if I'm feeling like the other person needs to give that to me, like, where am I at in that situation?
Yeah, beautiful. Beautifully described right there. And then, you know, what people are going to get in our talk, and I'm so glad you're coming.
Yes,
because
I'm so excited. Because
what we're going to show you, too, is what is going on really in the background that prevents us from even recognizing that or taking action from that place, you know, that's playing out unconsciously in the background. And once we can see that, it's like, that is the one piece of this whole evening that everybody's like, oh, my God, I had no idea that was going. Like, that's why, that's how come, mom, or, you know, and then from that place, it creates a completely different opening. And I actually had somebody say, like, oh, my God, I'm never going to be able to argue ever again. Now,
that's,
you know, the way
news
that I have in the past, because I know now what is really going on in the background. I'm not ever going to be able to do that in the same way again. And what's so cool about that, and, you know, Christian and I, you know, we have our little issues too. We're not, like, you know, perfect. You know, we're not endowed with special genes. We just know what to do when we encounter those difficulties that arise. We know what's going on in the background. We know how to stay out of victim and stay in creative power, stay into taking responsibility. You know, here's another little tidbit that I'll throw out here, is one of the things we always say is responsibility is something to take and not something to give.
Mm.
And we're often so over-eager to get our partners, like, can you just see your part? And you're, you know, trying to get our partners to take responsibility. And really, you know, just responsibility is something to take, not something to give. The more you take it, the more your partner's going to be inspired to take it as well.
I like that. That is such a good note to leave this conversation on. Christian and Sonica, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. I'm actually going to close our conversation here with a YouTube video that I found really enjoyable when I was watching, called Fun Masterful Tool to Feel Better Quickly, because I think that that's something that I was just watching and I was like, wow, I'm going to try this. So it's one of your videos that can be found on your YouTube channel or through the loveworks.com website.
Oh, maybe if I can just correct you there. I know it's a little confusing because our name is actually Loveworks.
Okay.
But our website is loveworksforyou.com.
Perfect.
So all spelled out, F-O-R-Y-O-U, loveworksforyou.com.
Great. Thank you for that. Loveworksforyou.com. And is there anything else that you want to say in closing besides we'll see you on October 4th?
Yeah, well, I want to say first, thank you so much for inviting us to be here. It's a pleasure, and thank you for everything you're doing to further this conversation about love in this world. That is awesome.
My
and
pleasure.
We do indeed look forward to see everybody, and I want to say what that lady said I read in the beginning. Yeah, it is possible.
Great.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy.
Thank you so much. All right, so this is Love in the 21st Century. We were just talking with Sonica and Christian from Love Works Relationship Training Company. They have an event coming up this week, this Sunday, October 4th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Yoga Center of Chico. So it'll be a great event to meet them and hear about more work that they do. And it is, again, at the Yoga Center of Chico, and you can find out more information at loveworksforyou.com. Here's one of their videos, Fun Masterful Tool to Feel Better Quickly.
Feel better and stop feeling like beep.
Relationship tip of the week.
A quick and fun way to get back on track and feel better and stop feeling like beep.
It's all too easy sometimes in relationships to focus in on the stuff we don't like.
And you'll notice once something, you know, the issue you're having in relationship, once it gets bigger and more practiced, the harder it can seem to find a good way to solve it. Like, the harder it can be for you to even imagine what it would be like if you had everything solved and you were actually enjoying yourself.
So we have this great little trick we actually got from Abraham. Some of you know that we just got back from being on a week-long cruise to Cancun. We got to hang out with Abraham for a week. And one of the tips that they give, which we've had a lot of fun with in our relationship, is called, wouldn't it be great if...
The wouldn't it be great if game. It's just a little game you play conversationally.
And you just keep playing it over and over. Wouldn't it be great if we loved each other? Wouldn't it be great if we got along? Wouldn't it be great if we had lots of fun every day just appreciating and adoring each other?
Wouldn't it be great if we had an easy way to deal with our differences? Wouldn't it be great if our differences weren't all that different? Wouldn't it be great if... we could even have fun with it and it could be easy. Wouldn't it be great if you just, wouldn't it be great if anything? Wouldn't it be great if we had more money? Wouldn't it be great if we had more time to just sit out here on the porch like we're doing today? Wouldn't it be great if
we made a difference for hundreds of people like you, right? Wouldn't it be great if you just keep going, going, and as you do that, you build up some momentum, you let yourself start to feel good thinking about things you'd like to create. And I'll tell you, it has a lot of power. I just was talking with someone today who's been battling with depression and anxiety, and she's been playing the what if, you know, wouldn't it be great if game. And she's experiencing some profound shifts in how she's moving through her life, getting up in the morning, getting things done, getting out there and interacting in the world. It's creating a huge shift in her mood. And we've seen that with a lot of couples in relationship or singles who are exploring relationship. Wouldn't it be great if I met somebody today that I could really have a great conversation with? Wouldn't it be great if my partner appreciated everything that I did for him today?
Right. And at the very least, by playing this simple little game, you'll just create a better mood for yourself, by yourself or between yourselves. And better mood is everything in when you're trying to get to any particular result or solve a certain issue.
Yeah, so have fun with it. Wouldn't it be great if?
Wouldn't it be great if you had fun with that and had great results?
All right, this has been Love in the 21st Century, and that was a short video by Sonica and Christian from Love Works Relationship Training Company, the YouTube channel. We're going to have Ecotopia coming up next. I do want to let you know really quickly that there is an event coming up October 9th. It's going to be at Rise Yoga, which is on 15th Street in Park. It's kind of the close corner there. It's 1441 Park Avenue, but it's actually on 15th Street, the big yellow-ish building, and it's called Between Worlds Art Exhibition, and it is Ilya Bervonikov artworks, and the funds are going to go to support Blue Oak Charter School and Live True, a local nonprofit that does community action here in Chico. And it's going to be a great event. It's going to be from 5 to 10 o'clock. Please come out and show your support. The event will be free, but there'll be things inside to support the